You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. We have three stories that caught my attention that I want to at least briefly, two of them briefly, comment upon. The one that's really important involves maybe a future war, or at least maybe the prevention of a future war. President Trump, I would say the way I would characterize that, he tweeted, this time all in caps, and this is getting a lot of attention, basically telling the Iranians, don't mess with the United States. Don't threaten the United States again. I'm not worried about threats. What I'm worried about, actions. What starts wars is when governments, any government, takes actions that are acts of war. Words, I'm not saying are unimportant, but what you need to pay attention to is there's always going to be, especially between two governments that simply don't get along, they're going to say things. Trump will say it, and the Iranian leadership will say it, but what the American people are worried about is they don't want another war. They don't want the United States to get involved in the Middle East and to be a referee between the Sunnis and the Shia. And the Islamic Republic of Iran, they are predominantly Shia, and that's who rule Iran. And I think President Trump is just putting them on notice. Now, he addressed this to the Iranian president, Rouhani, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences, the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. I hope he felt good sending it out. I assume he drafted it. Usually you don't put anything in all caps unless it's important. I guess you might characterize this as sending a message, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, this is noise. What we got to worry about is, should Iranian military, naval forces, air forces attack our ships every day that are transiting between Iran and on the East Coast and the various Saudi and Arab countries on the West. And see, that's the big, there's an ethnic and religious division. You have the Persians or Iranians that are Shia, and then you have the Arabs that are Sunni. There are exceptions to this. Many of these countries have significant minorities. For example, Iraq is predominantly Shia, but it has a large Sunni population. And for many years, decades, they've gotten along, but you can get situations where they go to war with one another, and to the extent you have extremists or jihadists running the show, for example, ISIS. You haven't heard much about ISIS lately. It's really almost, if not completely destroyed, it's definitely a shadow of its former self. But they would attack who? Shia. And they killed a lot of Shia in Iraq and Syria to a certain extent. And the civil war in Syria is between, again, the majority there is Sunni, but the minority is Shia, or where the Assad regime is allied with who? Iran and Russia. And that's the other thing that I need to bring in. It's Russia is the major ally of both Syria and Iran. So this is very much an exchange of words. And it's really a follow-up to Pompeo's speech that he gave this weekend. I want to play that, or at least part of it, so you get a flavor of what the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was saying. You see, you have people both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, especially the neocons, that would like a war with Iran. And that's what you need to understand. The American people don't want that. And Trump, at least when he was running, ran as, or at least gave the impression that why he wanted a strong national defense, he wanted to not intervene in country after country. What do we have to show for it other than a lot of treasure, namely billions of dollars being spent, as far as I'm concerned, wasted, and American lives lost, and many Americans, both men and women, severely wounded? We need to stop this. And given the fact that we are more or less energy independent, not completely, but we're getting there, I'm against interventionism, and that's what the foreign policy of the United States has been after World War II. We've intervened in country after country after country. Now, yes, admittedly, for many years, there was a Cold War going on. Many people, including me, supported a strong national defense, again, against the Soviet Union. But the Soviet Union empire has been largely dismantled. Russia is a shadow of what the Soviet Union was. The only world power hegemon today is the United States. I won't say a majority, but a large number of Americans share my view. I don't want the United States to be policeman of the world. That requires not only substantial expenditures on military power, because you want to intervene in country after country. We're broke. And it's about time our politicians, Democrat and Republican, understand that and keep the troops home. As a matter of fact, bring the troops home. Now, what's going to happen is we have allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. And while we can support them with providing weapons to them, and that's what we do, we've been selling weapons and sometimes loaning them money or giving them the money to buy weapon systems, whether it's the F-15, F-16, F-35, fighter as well as missiles. We sell to the Israelis, or we give them to them. Military aid. And to a lesser extent, to Saudi Arabia. So let's hear Mike Pompeo.
Of kleptocracy. Next year will mark the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. As I'll spell out more in a moment, the 40 years of fruit from the revolution has been bitter. 40 years of kleptocracy. 40 years of the people's wealth squandered on supporting terrorism. 40 years of ordinary Iranians thrown in jail for peaceful expression of their rights. Why has the regime conducted itself in such an abhorrent way over the past 40 years and subjected its people to these conditions? It's an important question. The answer is at root in the revolutionary nature of the regime itself. The ideologues who forcibly came to power in 1979 and remain in power today are driven by our desire to conform all of Iranian society to the tenets of the Islamic Revolution. The regime is also committed to spreading the revolution to other countries, if by force, if necessary. The total fulfillment of the revolution at home and abroad is the regime's ultimate goal. It drives their behavior. Thus, the regime has spent four decades mobilizing all elements of the Iranian economy, foreign policy, and political life in service of that objective. To the regime, prosperity, security, and freedom for the Iranian people are acceptable casualties in the march to fulfill the revolution. Economically, we see how the regime's decision to prioritize an ideological agenda over the welfare of the Iranian people has put Iran into long-term economic tailspin. During the time of the nuclear deal, Iran increased oil revenues could have gone to improving the lives of the Iranian people. Instead, they went to terrorists, dictators, and proxy militias. Today, thanks to regime subsidies, the average Hezbollah combatant makes 2 to 3 times what an Iranian firefighter makes on the streets of Iran. Regime mismanagement has led to the rial plummeting in value. A third of Iranian youth are unemployed, and a third of Iranians now live below the poverty line. The bitter irony of the economic situation in Iran is that the regime uses this same time to line its own pockets while its people cry out for jobs and reform and for opportunity. The Iran economy is going great, but only if you're a politically connected member of the elite. 2 years ago, Iranians rightfully erupted in anger when leaked pay stubs showed massive amounts of money inexplicably flowing into the bank accounts of senior government officials. And there are many more examples of the widespread corruption. Take Sadiq Larijani, the head of Iran's judiciary. He's worth at least $300 million. He got this money from embezzling public funds into his own bank account. The Trump administration sanctioned Larijani in January for human rights abuses because we weren't afraid to tackle the regime at its highest level. Call me crazy, you won't be the first, but I'm a little skeptical that a thieving thug under international sanctions is the right man to be Iran's highest-ranking judicial official. Former IRG officer and Minister of Interior Sadiq Masouli is nicknamed the Billionaire General. He went from being a poor IRGC officer at the end of the Iran-Iraq War to being worth billions of dollars. How'd that happen? He somehow had a knack for winning lucrative construction and oil trading contracts from businesses associated with the IRGC. Being an old college buddy of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad just might have had something to do with it as well. The Ayatollahs are in on the act, too. Judging by their vast wealth, they seem more concerned with riches than religion. These hypocritical holy men have devised all kinds of crooked schemes to become some of the wealthiest men on earth while their people suffer. Grand Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi is known as the Sultan of Sugar for his illicit trading of sugar, which has generated over $100 million for him. He's pressured the Iranian government to lower subsidies to domestic sugar producers while he floods the market with his own, more expensive, imported sugar. This type of activity puts ordinary Iranians out of work. Another Ayatollah, one of Tehran's Friday parrot leaders for the past 30 years, had the government transfer several lucrative mines to his foundation. He, too, is now worth millions of dollars. And not many people know this, but the Ayatollah Khamenei has his own personal off-the-books hedge fund called the Seitat, worth $95 billion with a B, dollars. That wealth is untaxed, it is ill-gotten, and it is used as a slush fund for the IRGC. The Ayatollah fills his coffers by devouring whatever he wants. In 2013, the Seitat's agents banished an 82-year-old Baha'i woman from her apartment and confiscated the property after a long campaign of harassment. Seizing land from religious minorities and political rivals is just another day at the office for this juggernaut that has interest in everything from real estate to telecoms to ostrich farming. All of it is done with the blessing of Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, this list goes on, but we've got places to go tonight. The level of corruption and wealth among Iranian leaders shows that Iran is run by something that resembles the mafia more than a government. On foreign policy, the regime's mission of exporting the revolution is to produce a decades-long campaign of ideologically motivated violence and destabilization abroad. Assad, Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, Shia militant groups in Iraq, and the Houthis in Yemen feed on billions of regime cash, while the Iranian people shout slogans like, "Leave Syria, think about us." Our partners in the Middle East are plagued by Iranian cyber attacks and threatening behavior in the waters of the Persian Gulf. The regime and its allies in terror have left a trail of dissident blood across Europe and the Middle East. Indeed, our European allies are not immune to the threat of regime-backed terrorism. Just earlier this month, an Iranian diplomat based in Vienna was arrested and charged with supplying explosives for a terrorist bomb scheduled to bomb a political rally in France. This tells you everything you need to know about the regime. At the same time, they're trying to convince Europe to stay in the nuclear deal. They're covertly plotting terrorist attacks in the heart of Europe. And because fighting the United States and destroying Israel is at the core of the regime's ideology, it has committed and supported many acts of violence and terrorism against both countries and our citizens. As just one example, well over 1,000 American service members have been killed and wounded in Iraq from Iranian-made IEDs. Today, multiple Americans are detained and missing inside of Iran. Bakr Namazi, Siamak Namazi, Xiu Wang are unjustly held by the regime to this day. And Bob Levinson has been missing in Iran for over 11 years. There are others too. And we in the Trump administration are working diligently to bring each of those Americans home for having wrongfully detained for far too long. Despite the regime's...
He's a demonstrator. She'll be fine, which she should be.
If there were only so much freedom of expression in Iran, you know, despite the regime's clear record of aggression, America and other countries have spent years straining to identify a political moderate. It's like an Iranian unicorn. The regime's revolutionary goals and willingness to commit violent acts haven't produced anyone to lead Iran that can be remotely called a moderate or a statesman. Some believe that President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif fit that bill. The truth is they are merely polished frontmen for the Ayatollah's international con artistry. Their nuclear deal didn't make them moderates. It made them wolves in sheep's clothing. Governments around the world worry that confronting the Islamic Republic harms the cause of moderates. But these so-called moderates within the regime are still violent Islamic revolutionaries with an anti-America, anti-West agenda. You only have to take their own words for it. And for that matter, the evidence reveals that their agenda is this anti-Iran agenda as well. The regime's absolute adherence to the Islamic revolutions means it cannot endure any ideas in the Iranian society that would contradict or undermine it, unlike we just did here this evening. It's why the regime has for decades heartlessly repressed its own people's human rights, dignity, and fundamental freedoms. It's why the Iranian police detained a teenage Iranian gymnast for posting an Instagram video of herself dancing. It's why the regime arrests hundreds of Azawahis, members of Iran's minority Arab community, when they speak out to demand respect for their language and for their basic beliefs. The government's morality police beat women in the streets and arrest those who do not wish to wear the hijab. On White Wednesday, one activist was recently sentenced to 20 years in prison for protesting compulsory hijab wearing. The desire to uphold the Islamic resolution has especially resulted in gross suppression of the freedom of religion in Iran, often to barbaric ends. Last month, a simple man, a bus driver, a father of two children, and a member of the Iranian Gobadi Sufi Dervish community was convicted and sentenced to death. His sentence came on questionable grounds, following violent clashes between security forces and the dervishes. He was reportedly denied access to a lawyer before and during his grossly unfair trial. This man, Mr. Salas, and his supporters maintains his innocence throughout, reportedly stating he'd been tortured into a forced confession. Sadly, on June 18th, the regime hanged Mr. Salas in prison. His death was part of a larger crackdown that began in February when at least 300 Sufis demanding the release of their fellow faith members were unjustly arrested. Right now, hundreds of Sufi Muslims in Iran remain imprisoned on account of their religious beliefs, with reports of several having died at the hands of the regime's brutal security forces. Among those in prison is the 91-year-old leader, Dr. Nur Ali Tabanda, who has been under house arrest for at least the last part of 4 months, the greatest part of 4 months. He's in need of immediate medical care. The religious intolerance of the regime in Iran does not only extend to Sufi Muslims. The same goes for Christians and Jews and Sunnis and Baha'is and Zoroastrians and members of many other groups inside of Iran who live with the fear that their next prayer may be indeed their last. What grieves us so badly about the treatment of religious minorities in Iran is that their presence far predates the regime. They are a historic part of the rich fabric of an ancient and vibrant Iranian civilization. That fabric has been torn by intolerant, black-robed enforcers.
Now, I'm going to leave it there. A point I want to raise, though, who is going to overthrow this regime? Who? It's going to require a revolution. Call it a counter-revolution. It's up to the people of Iran to overthrow their oppressors. As things get economically worse, and that's why I fully support sanctions against Iran, but what did our last president do? Sent him money, plane loads of money. So we start all over again. And yes, there are countries in Europe that want to sell to this regime, including France. So the United States right now is alone. But the European countries are going to have to make a decision, exports to the United States or export to Iran. But in the long run, it's still the people of Iran that have to take action. And they don't have weapons. Unlike the United States, where people can keep and bear arms, not in Iran. You see, the dictators throughout history, the first thing they confiscate, they disarm anyone that could be opposing them. That's what they do in Iran. That's what they do in Russia. That's what they do in Nazi Germany. That's why the American people will always demand their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. But abroad, unless you're supporting the regime and part of the regime, you don't have the right to have arms. As a matter of fact, if you're caught having them, you will be prosecuted, tortured, and maybe executed. So while the United States can provide verbal support, and the president can tweet to his heart's content, fundamentally, it's up to the Iranian people to throw off their dictators. It's not easy. Remember when Barack Obama was early years? There was an attempt, 2009, and Barack Obama was curiously silent. And then towards the end of his regime, didn't sign a treaty with him, because he couldn't get it through Congress. He had an agreement, supposedly stopping the immediate proliferation of nuclear weapons in Iran. No, it didn't. They can start at any time. I think they already have nuclear weapons. They haven't tested them. U.S. didn't sign an agreement. Neither did Iran. There is no signed agreement. That's a fiction. You need two parties to sign, and the Iranians wouldn't do it. So I'll follow what the President Trump's foreign policy is, but you got to keep in mind the American people do not support another war in the Middle East and are not for intervention in Iran. It's up to the people in these countries to overthrow those that are oppressing them. Oh, we'll have our CIA, to a certain extent, meddle in their elections, provide some support to insurgents, but that's not going to get the job done. We did it in the past. Keep in mind that one of the first and most successful overthrow of a legitimate government was the CIA supporting the Shah of Iran. The Iranians are well aware of that. Very few U.S. citizens are. Any partisan group that tries to overthrow the dictators, they have to be careful. They can't be allied to the United States, and that makes it difficult, even if we want to support them. So we had an exchange of messages. Hopefully, it will not lead to any military actions. But if Iran should engage in military actions, whether intentionally or accidentally, we could be in war before you know it. And when administrations get in trouble, those primarily Democratic administrations, but also Republican, there's a great temptation to motivate the people to come out to vote for them by saying, we want to go to war. We got to defend the United States. Well, what does Iran have that the people of the United States would want? Yeah, they have a lot of natural gas and oil, but so does the United States. We shouldn't be sucked into another war in the Middle East. And there are people in both parties that would like that to happen. It's the American people, unfortunately, do not have a party that represents their concerns. It's not the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party. It's certainly not the neocons. There are people in of both parties that if they could would push the United States into another war, this time with Iran. I totally oppose it. Again, it's the people of Iran that have to revolt. And it's not going to be easy. It will be bloody, violent, because these corrupt individuals know if they lose, they'll lose their lives and they'll lose their wealth. And they control the Revolutionary Guard. They control the levels of power. They have the money, the resources to oppress the entire country. And they've been doing it for 40 years. And until the people revolt, and I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen in communist China. You can only suppress a people so long before they push back. But it's difficult. It's easy for a president or a secretary of state to cite the tragic results of suppression, especially of religious minorities. But can we truly help them? I don't think so. So we sit and wait and should wait for the Iranian people, no matter what their religion, to take up arms and overthrow the people that are keeping them in chains. Now, I want to move on. We learned today that the White House, President Trump, is considering looking into revoking the security clearances of former officials of the Obama regime, including the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, Brennan, the head of former head of the FBI, James Comey, as well as his deputy director, Andrew McCabe, Susan Rice, National Security Advisor, and others. But I was scratching my head. If you've been in the military, or if you have served in intelligence or work for the government where you've had a security clearance, and I have, when you leave the government, you lose your security clearance. And unless you go to work in an industry that requires a security clearance, you can't get a job in that. Now, let me explain. When I left the Air Force, I had a security clearance for over 5 years, and I went to work for at that time, the largest aerospace company, defense contractor, General Dynamics, its Fort Worth division, working on the F-16 program. Initially, though, I did not have a security clearance. So I filled out the paperwork, and it took, a couple of months. It's not quick. Mine was probably quicker than others because, like I said, I had just gotten out of the military, and there was a short gap. But I know that the FBI questioned people, especially before I was in the Air Force, I was in grad school at the University of California at Berkeley for a little over 4 years. And both when I entered the Air Force and when I entered industry, the FBI questioned my neighbors, professors, to see if there's any reason that he should not have a security clearance. Now, in my case, my father was in the military, in counterintelligence part of his career. So there's a long history here. But they still have to check people out. It's background checks. It's not the glamorous part of the FBI, but somebody has to do it. But when you leave, and talk to former military, if you leave the service, you leave the Central Intelligence Agency or the National Security Agency, and for that matter, the FBI, only in rare instances and where it's truly needed, whether you retire or resign, you lose your security clearance. So I can't get much exercise with President Trump saying that he's considering it. Now, I think he's reacting to the fact that Senator Paul of Kentucky was questioning why does CIA director, former CIA director, Brennan, still have his clearance. He wants to have a universal, not name specifically, but a law, and I wonder if you even need to change the law, where former, especially high-level government officials automatically lose their clearance. I know the rank and file do, and I was an officer a captain, lieutenant, then captain. But unless you work for industry or go on reserve duty where you need a clearance, let's say you're flying a plane. Usually if you're flying an Air Force, at least, a plane, even if it's in the reserves, you got to have clearances. And you fill out the paperwork. It takes a little time, and you get your clearance. But I don't think it's automatic at all that you get a clearance, even at a high level. The only exception here is where you're, for example, on an advisory board for the intelligence community, for example, or where a sitting president wants your advice on, let's say, how you handled a matter when you were in government. So there are certain cases, certain exceptions that need to be made. I already think all of this is in place. I think the president needs to be informed of this because many, I know, prior military and probably intelligence were scratching their head. Do they still have a clearance? Now, if you're fired, terminated, no, you don't. Someone, a friend of Comey, asked him. He doesn't have a securities clearance. He was the former FBI director. You see, I have a different question for President Trump. Why are you not ordering President Trump, your attorney general, to investigate and prosecute by appointing a second special counsel to go after former high-level Obama administration officials that violated the law? They were involved in a criminal conspiracy to do what? Surveil the Trump administration. You are President of the United States. Mr. President, why don't you issue some orders? I don't care if Comey loses or Brennan or James Clapper. James Clapper was Director of National Intelligence. Or Susan Rice loses their security clearance. If they need it or still need it, let them apply and then look into it. What needs to be done and what the American people are demanding is those involved in illegal activities, especially the abuse of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and that'll be the next story I'm going to get into. Where's the special counsel? Most, if not all, of these people that were involved in this conspiracy, and it was a criminal conspiracy, are no longer in government. And I hope they don't have a clearance. You see, this conspiracy is widespread. It's at a high level, though. It starts with the President of the United States, his trusted advisor, Valerie Jarrett, his National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, the former Attorney General, the former Deputy Attorney General, FBI Director, former FBI Director, former Deputy FBI Director, and yes, the former CIA Director, Mr. Trump, that called you treasonous. He has a well-known reputation of being somewhat of a hothead. But these are people that made careers in the government, but thought they were above the law. They thought they would get away with it because they all believed that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Well, she didn't win. And we've spent over 2 years now investigating them. But where's the justice? They spied on you, Mr. Trump. They're still spying on you. It's against the law for any government employee, any government official, to use government property, government time to surveil or spy or wiretap you, sir. But the Obama administration schemed and got a warrant to spy, surveil Carter Page, really knowing that they were after you and the people in your campaign. And you're letting them get away with it. That's serious because it sends the wrong message, first to the American people that are really losing, and many have lost confidence, I include me in this group, in the Department of Justice, your Department of Justice, sir, and the FBI. You need to hold accountable people that break the law. No one should be above the law. You know they broke the law. You know Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted. We've gotten enough of the details. We know many of the names. You see, if you don't stop it now, they'll try again and again and again. They need to be made examples of. That no government employee, no matter how politically connected they are, is above the law. And when you misuse government property, assets, people engaged in felonies, it doesn't matter how high you were. And this goes right into the Oval Office. I say that because no FBI director, no CIA director, no director of national intelligence is going to do what they did unless the president wants them to. Keep that in mind. They did it because the president wanted to be done. He passed the orders through his trusted advisors. He thought he would get away with it because Hillary's going to be the next president. And that's what they were trying to do. They first had to get Hillary out from under an FBI investigation that had tons of evidence that she was guilty of sin, of committing many, many felonies, compromising the national security of this nation. Again, involving classified information. You don't set up your own server to receive and send classified information. But Obama did nothing because he was sending and receiving information of it. He didn't do what was right. The right thing would be to fire her and tell her cease and desist. And the same thing with James Comey, to fire him when he let her off the hook. He didn't do either. He was in on it. Talk to anyone in the rank and file, they know. You had an attorney general, an FBI director, a CIA director, a director of national intelligence, national security advisor, and aides to all these people engaged in a criminal conspiracy, first to get Hillary Clinton off the hook, out from under an FBI investigation, part one, and then part two, to frame and smear Donald Trump, ideally before the election, to come up with an October surprise, but they came up empty. And they still have come up empty after 2 years. The American people are demanding justice. They are demanding that the felons, the criminals involved in this conspiracy, lose more than their security clearance, lose their freedom by being prosecuted. And where's your attorney general? What are you waiting for, Mr. Trump? Your supporters are losing patience. Now, maybe President Trump is waiting for the November elections to be over and for Special Counsel Mueller to wrap up an investigation that never should have been started. Remember that this was not a criminal investigation. It was a counterintelligence investigation. And they have produced no evidence that anyone involved in the Trump campaign was, quote, colluding with the Russians. Zero. And many Democratic politicians have said that, including President Obama, James Clapper, and others. There was no evidence. This was a smear. They wanted to impeach him, and they failed. It was a coup, a political coup, involving the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the White House, and some in the National Security Agency. Mr. President, if you don't order, or if Attorney General does not order, a complete and full investigation of what went on, then you don't deserve to be reelected. You are President of the United States, and you should not allow another political party to use the government to subvert your perfectly legal activity running for president. And they continued this, sir, even when you were elected. And now they're panicking, calling you names. Don't respond with a tweet. Respond with a special counsel that goes after everyone involved, and I mean everyone. I think there are several dozen people involved, maybe upwards of 100 people. You need to stop this and reveal how the former president and his high-ranking political appointees try to subvert the election process as well as subvert your presidency. No one should get off. No one is untouchable. Because if you don't do it, sir, they'll try it again and again and again. They need to learn their lesson. They were corrupt criminals. They were partisan. And they were doing exactly what the Iranian leadership would do to the people that dissent. It was outrageous behavior. It was illegal behavior. And crimes require punishment. Crimes require, though, evidence. And first, you need a prosecutor to gather the evidence, investigate it, and where the evidence shows that federal statutes have been broken. These people involved criminal conspiracy should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And if you don't do it, they'll do it to another Republican in the future. It's a scandal that'll rock this nation. It should rock this nation. All American people should be aware of it. Most people aren't. That seems unbelievable, but it doesn't surprise me. And tomorrow we'll learn more details of it. I've read several books on it. I know the names, what's allegations, what the proof is. There's another book coming out by Greg Jarrett. I haven't had it. I haven't had time to read. He didn't send me a copy, but I'll buy it and I'll read it. The American people should read it, but there are other books out there. And if you keep up with the news and are informed, you know what's going on. There have been reporters. There is still investigative journalism out there, but largely the television networks, the cable news, CNN, they're no longer presenting the news. They're trying to protect the Democratic Party, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. They could care less about the truth. They could care less about justice. They're in protection mode. And the reason is simple. This will rock the Democratic Party. If Trump finally takes off the gloves and goes after these criminals, felons, they were more than biased. They were engaged in activities that you should be scared of. It's the activities of a police state. It's an activities that you see in Iran and other dictatorships. They did it because they thought they could get away with it. And they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. That's how arrogant they were. And also, thank God, sloppy. What's really scandalous is innocent Americans that got caught up, were involved in the Trump campaign, have paid a heavy price. Now, some might have committed crimes, but not related to the Trump campaign. Robert Mueller better wrap up his investigation. That's the best thing he could do. But by prolonging this, indirectly, he's dividing this country. The glorious details of what went on in 2016 into 2017 need to be presented first and foremost in a courtroom and then reported on to the extent we still have journalism in this country as opposed to propaganda. I'm waiting, sir, for that special counsel, and I look forward to see that special counsel investigate and bring to justice those in the prior administration that forgot what the rule of law means and instead were partisan and broke the law because they thought the ends justified the means. The end being the election of Hillary Clinton. And the means was any means, fair or foul. And it was not fair, and it was certainly was foul. Now, we have another story in the news, and this, what I just went over, we're getting more and more details are coming out. I haven't lost hope that eventually these criminals will be brought to justice, but the American people now are believing that we have a corrupt Department of Justice, a corrupt FBI. We have two standards of justice. If you're politically connected, the law doesn't apply to you, but if you're the average Joe or Mary, it does, and they will ruin you. The American people deserve, for example, I'm going to cover the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. It failed us. It routinely approves warrants that the Department of Justice and FBI submit to the court. It's over 99.99% of the applications are approved. Now, some would call it a rubber stamp. It approved a warrant that led to the surveillance first of Carter Page, but then anyone that he was in contact with. They were using this as a pretext to spy on who? The Trump campaign and Trump. And they did. Remember when President Trump, early in his administration, said, Obama had me wiretapped. And everyone laughed. Everyone poo-pooed. Oh, no, he didn't. No. He did. He did. That's what I'm trying to say. And they did it. Now, here is part of the scandal. There are several parts to this, but this is a big part. Hillary Clinton and her campaign funded some opposition research. Now, there's nothing illegal about obtaining opposition research. Democrats and Republicans do it. They've done it for years. You want to know if there's anything embarrassing about your opponent, any illegal activity. You want to understand your opponents, the opposition. So I have no problem with campaigns paying for and getting so-called opposition research. Normally, this is somewhat routine. It's a search of court records, as well as looking at prior press reports. And yeah, you're going to hit, and especially divorce proceedings, that seems to be a favorite. But what was different about this is first, it involved first sending money to a law firm well connected with the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign, money. And that's Perkins Coie or Coie. I've heard it pronounced so many ways, C-O-I-E. They hired Fusion GPS. That is largely although they do some opposition research in the past for Republicans, and they have. It's mainly a Democratic Party opposition research firm run by a couple of former journalists. And they in turn hired that's Fusion GPS. And they in turn hired Christopher Steele, a former retired MI6, which is Military Intelligence Section 6. It's the more or less the equivalent of RCIA. He used to have the Russian desk and had contacts in Russia when he was with MI6. He hasn't been in Russia for over 17 years. And he knew his client wanted dirt. They call it leverage dirt. And he got dirt. But it was dirt that no one, including him, could verify. It was largely rumor, second, third, fourth hand rumors, none of which could be checked out. You don't know the names of these people. It couldn't be verified. But what he did is he took the information he got, and I think very much intentionally, made it look like an intelligence report. It's about 35 pages. There are books that have it, and you can go online and read it if you like. It has about 17 items. They were trying to get the press to publish this. The press wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Why? They don't want to be sued. They couldn't verify it. And for that matter, neither could the FBI. But the FBI used this Steele dossier to get the warrant so they could surveil, spy on the Trump campaign. Unverified information. You're not supposed to present unverified information, especially salacious, scandalous material, unless you've checked out the source. And the source is not Steele. The source is the Russians that gave him this information. We don't know their names. And many of it's, like I said, second and third hand. It's rumors. It's largely suspected to be Russian disinformation from the government. And that was the basis of getting a warrant and spying on the Trump campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, this doesn't happen by accident. People were involved. This was a plot, very much a plot, with conspirators involving the FBI, Department of Justice, and the CIA. Christopher Steele is a citizen of the United Kingdom, and foreigners are not supposed to get involved in U.S. elections. And what the FBI failed to disclose is this Steele dossier was paid for by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee, primarily through the big donors in the Democratic Party. If a judge had known that, they would never get the warrant. That's the key point. You have government, people in the Department of Justice at the highest levels, and the FBI that signed off on this, including, and this was renewed 3 times, the current deputy director of the Department of Justice. This is Obama's deputy director. And yes, they released enough of the document that we know this for sure, but most of the document was blacked out, redacted. This is a scandal that the Department of Justice trumps Department of Justice, especially that deputy director of the Department of Justice. They're hiding this. They're covering it up. This is a cover-up of the first order. President Trump can and should order the total declassification of that warrant application, where maybe a few items are blacked out, but the glorious details are shown to the American people, and they learn what their FBI and Department of Justice was trying to do. They want to think that, well, we had some other information. Andrew McCabe, who was involved in this, said, without the Steele dossier, we couldn't get anything. So the Department of Justice at least Remember, and the only reason we got this is because Judicial Watch sued for President Trump. It's about time, and the patience of the American people are running out on this, that you step forward and declassify these applications. I don't care who's embarrassed, because the American people need to see chapter and verse what their Department of Justice, their FBI, was doing, sir, to you and the people that volunteer for your campaign. And yes, I know where this leads, right back to Barack Obama. But it's never, the full details are never going to come out unless there's a special counsel which that can subpoena people, call, have a grand jury impaneled, and go after the conspirators, the plotters at all levels. And some of them will turn state evidence, will provide you the information you need to convict the higher-ups. They don't want to see their life savings destroyed. But that's what's happened so far with the innocent people that involved in your campaign that Special Counsel Mueller has been so-called investigating. Sir, do the right thing. Have the appointment of a second special counsel to go after the Clinton, Obama, Democrat criminal conspiracy. Don't let them get away with it, because then they will be emboldened and do it again. They're that arrogant, that stupid, and they think they can get away with it. Why? Because big lie media will help them. Expose this conspiracy for what it is. Innocent people have been hurt, but really it's the American people that need to hear this and to see what the Democratic Party has stooped to in their desperation to elect one of their own. Unprecedented in terms of the level of the people involved and the crimes that were involved. Now, for those that are new listeners to the show, you can get a lot of the details that I simply don't have time to cover by going to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And under the links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows, I give you some, not all, some of the show preparation, both YouTube videos, articles, photographs, cartoons, and I want you to make up your own mind. I've been following this closely, and I've been reading books on it. Probably the one person that's really covered this, some would say it, he's beat it to death, is Sean Hannity. But he deserves a Pulitzer, and the people that were supplying the details deserve a Pulitzer, because he has, day in, day out, provided the American people, those that listen to Fox and listen to the Sean Hannity show, much, if not all, the details. And I salute him for it and the people that are supporting him. What the Democratic Party did was not fair. It was not right. It was criminal felonies, and they need to be brought to justice. And the American people are demanding it, and unfortunately, if President Trump doesn't do the right thing and they get away with it, I think many Trump supporters won't support him again. So he better be listening and paying attention. There's a reason why his supporters were saying, lock her up, lock her up. She should have been locked up. But first, she should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and our FBI and Department of Justice let us down. And Congress is truly letting us down. Oh, yes, they've had investigations, but it's up to the president and the attorney general to appoint a special counsel. The sooner the better. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.